This is an ABC podcast.
I'm coming to you from beautiful Dja-Dja-Run country. It's bang in the middle of Victoria, and we're in Bendigo. You might have heard of it. It's famous for gold mining. Lots of trams here as well. But there are big issues that are facing young people in regional Victoria: mental health and housing. I'm Dave Marchese. This is Hack's Election Road Trip.
And I'm not going to allow a pile-on.
Google it, mate.
We're just taking questions from journalists.
You want to go down that path, be very, very careful.
Yeah, we've hit the road. Hack's getting out and about this election campaign, and I'm so stoked to be able to kick it off here in Bendigo in regional Victoria. It is beautiful here. We've been getting the full country welcome. I didn't realise they loved Elvis so much in Bendigo. We've been seeing a fair bit of him around, so if anyone can fill me in what that's all about, let me know. Look, like a lot of other communities across Australia, two of the biggest social issues here for young people are mental health and housing. A bit later, we're going to take you inside an amazing social housing project. It's the first of its kind in the country, and it's helping young people not only get a roof over their heads, but an education and support them to kickstart their lives. But first, Hack reporter Joe Lord has been out and about in Bendigo speaking with locals about how they're dealing with Australia's mental health crisis.
Joe?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm good. Lindsay, and this is Joe.
Hey,
how's it
going?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, great.
I remember the night, the first night very vividly because it all boiled over me, and Mum caught me crying. She came into the room, and probably the hardest part about it all was the fact that she had felt... She had felt a bit of a burden not knowing that I was struggling.
I'm sitting in the courtyard of the local Headspace Centre in Bendigo, talking to 24-year-old Jed Zimmer. He's telling me about the night that's, I guess, a turning point for him. It's the first time he told someone about the anxiety he'd struggled with for so long.
It was social anxiety, and again in itself, that was the... It was something that was a big shock to people because I was always seen as, you know, typical sort of a male who was meant to be relatively confident. I had a lot of close networks, close friends. I was involved in sporting clubs and so forth, but there was still that underlying social anxiety that was there. And I think is the case, unfortunately, for a lot of young males out there, and there is that stigma attached.
Do you think people around you noticed?
No, I don't. And it's funny because since I have actually opened up, so I held it to myself for many, many years. And since I did, I remember the day when I sort of spoke to a few friends about it. They were just in shock.
This all built up until that night when Jed made excuses not to go hang out with his footy mates because his anxiety was so bad. And he ended up opening up to his parents about how he was feeling. And everyone he's told since then has been so supportive. Jed's now an ambassador at the Headspace and a mental health advocate. And since he's been so public about his own experiences with mental illness, he reckons it's helped his other mates feel comfortable to talk about how they're going as well.
I feel like I found myself constantly having those conversations with, friends, clients at the time, whoever it might have been, and it was a real, real issue.
Myself, looking at the data that we collect for our centre, there's a lot more anxiety presentations around what's going on, what's it mean for myself in regards to my schooling, my work, all that sort of stuff.
Lindsay Rose is the manager of the local Headspace here in Bendigo. They've been open throughout the whole pandemic, but during lockdowns they were offering telehealth services, which he says made a big difference because they cover a huge geographical area throughout central Victoria. Lindsay says there's been a jump in demand from young people seeking help.
It's certainly increased. I'd say that we're seeing record numbers of young people from across our region reaching out, seeking support.
That's not just the case here in Bendigo. All across Australia, there's been an increase since the start of the pandemic in the number of people reaching out for mental health support. But in regional areas, there was already a shortage of mental health professionals, and it's made getting help when you need it even harder. Lisa Renato is Executive Director of the local Lifeline for the Central Vic and Mallee region.
Our centre is based in Bendigo CBD, and we service the 13 11 14 hotline, national hotline for our region. We have about 70 accredited volunteers who are answering the phone 7 days a week for people from our region. And this year we've answered over 13,000 calls already, which is huge.
Lisa told me they're expecting to answer around 15,000 Lifeline calls from the region by the end of the financial year, which is over 5,000 more than the previous year. She said says one of the biggest problems is that wait times to see a psychologist have massively blown out.
People are going to their GPs more. Then you need to get a mental health plan. Then you've got to get into a qualified social worker or psychologist. That wait time's blown out to about 20 weeks. You know, that's significant. And in the northern part of our region, that's more like 26 weeks. That's 6 months.
This is a problem right across Australia. But here in Bendigo, Lisa and her colleague Christine Adewara have started a stopgap counselling service for young people who need help in that wait time.
So this service specifically caters for those aged between 15 to 35. We're really affordable, we believe. So we're $25 for a concession and $45 for a standard fee.
We were collaborating with a number of other services in town, and what kept showing through is there's a gap. And some people waiting that period of time, that's too long. That's when we're getting that imminent call on the hotline.
31-year-old Dr. Skye Kinder is from Bendigo, and she was awarded Victoria's Young Australian of the Year in 2019. She's training to become a psychiatrist, but that means she's had to move to Melbourne to finish some of her training. She's going to be heading back to Bendigo for work after she's finished, and she's a passionate advocate for rural health.
We know, actually, that delivering mental health services in rural and regional areas costs more.
Dr. Kinder says telehealth has been a positive thing for young people trying to access mental health support in regional Australia. But she says it shouldn't be a long-term fix.
It has its place. It's really important. You know, should we be funding it? I think so, absolutely. But there are so many more things that we need to think about, and it would be doing rural communities, I think, a great disservice to forget that face-to-face is often the gold standard of clinical care.
When it comes to the election, she wants politicians to commit to a plan to fix a system that both parties agree on.
And also a genuine commitment, regardless of political ideology, to work together between federal and state to deliver a system that's not so fragmented.
Skye reckons regional cities like Bendigo should have first-class services, especially considering people travel from all around the region to come here for help.
I think that Bendigo should be, and you know, I very much hope will be, a centre of excellence for mental health care. There's no reason why we can't be. I think that, you know, if you don't believe in that vision, then it's time to move on.
The election road trip on Hack.
Joe Lauder reporting there. Let's keep this conversation going. And David Coleman is the Suicide Prevention and Mental Health Assistant Minister to the Prime Minister. And he joins me now. David Coleman, thanks for coming on Hack.
Good to be with you, David.
We're in Bendigo right now, but it wouldn't matter where in regional or rural Australia we were. There's a mental health crisis. COVID's made it a lot worse. What's the Coalition's plan to deal with this?
Well, look, David, you're right in saying that there are really significant mental health issues in the community that have been exacerbated by COVID. But it's over the last decade or so we've seen, in particular, an increase in mental health issues amongst young people and young adults. We've got a $3 billion plan from this year's budget and last year's budget right across the whole spectrum of mental health activities, further investment in Headspace, establishing a big new national network of centres called Head to Health to provide free mental health services, a whole range of initiatives in suicide prevention, including ensuring there's a suicide prevention response leader in every location in the country, and investing in our workforce because we need more people to work in the mental health sector. And we also need to do more to assist groups that are particularly vulnerable. The Indigenous community, for instance, where we've invested with Lifeline in a new telephone service called 13YARN. But there's a whole range of initiatives underway because mental health is a very high priority for the government.
But what we're hearing from experts is that it's not enough, that a quarter of young Australians are experiencing mental illness. A lot of them are going without treatment, and these professionals in mental health say politicians are still offering band-aid solutions. Shouldn't we be throwing more at this?
Well, we're investing very heavily in it, David. So I'll give you a couple of examples. So in 2013, there were 56 Headspace centres in Australia. Now there's 149. 2013, $3.3 billion in mental health. This year, $6.8 billion, so more than doubling. Big investment in Medicare as well. So, for instance, it used to be that people could have 10 sessions in mental health under Medicare. That's now up to 20. big investment in eating disorders, where very sadly we've seen a significant increase in the prevalence of eating disorders in recent years. So we're opening residential eating disorder centres around the country. We just, in the budget recently, announced another $20 million for eating disorder programs in the community. So there is a huge amount happening. And one of the really key initiatives in terms of new services, David, is Head to Health. So this was $500 million in last year's budget. And what we will see is more than 70 centres around the country offering free mental health care with multidisciplinary teams of professionals. So clinical support, non-clinical support from people with lived experience of mental health issues and so on. And those have started rolling out around the country. Yeah, we set up a number of them, pop-up clinics in response to COVID, but there's a lot more coming in the next few years.
What are we doing to get more people trained to become psychologists? Like, I heard you talking about training before, but doctors say we need to see long-term commitments, and we do have psychologists saying they're run off their feet, they can't take more patients, but the training to become a psychologist, it's so expensive, it's time-consuming. Don't we need a better plan to get more young people into these jobs?
Well, I think in terms of mental health workforce, you're right, it's a really significant issue, and we do need more people to come into the sector. So I'd certainly encourage people who are listening, who are perhaps thinking about future careers, to think about mental health as a career, because there are lots of job opportunities, and it's a great career.
But in terms of psychologists, a lot of young people say they'd like to do it, but it's too expensive, it takes too long, and the places are often really limited. Even if they want to do it, they're not able to.
Well, we've added a significant number of training places for psychologists in last year's budget, and we're also providing scholarships across the mental health workforce in different fields. And we're about to release very shortly a 10-year plan for the mental health workforce. We're working with the states on that, and that's with them at the moment.
Sorry, David Coleman, but I guess what I'm trying to get at here is that what we're hearing from people on the ground and psychologists themselves is it's not enough. And we can talk about a 10-year plan going forward, but in the interim, we've got so many people who need help.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, David, to say, to differentiate on workforce between immediate steps and long-term planning, because we've got to do both. So the immediate steps are about upskilling people who are in the workforce. So, for instance, a diploma of psychiatry for GPs to allow GPs to increase their skills, which is very positive, obviously, for people who are visiting those GPs. Scholarships for people with lived experience of mental ill health to get into the workforce to support people. A helpline for GPs to call that's staffed by psychiatrists, again, to help them upskill. And then in terms of an immediate impact on the workforce, it's about more scholarships, it's about training places, it's about placements in centres like Headspace. And we've committed to hundreds of those in recent years. So there are some immediate measures, but there are also some longer-term measures too, because workforce is a complex issue that involves training, it involves lead times in terms of people going through training courses and so on. And so it requires both immediate action and longer-term planning as well.
All right. Suicide Prevention and Mental Health Assistant Minister David Coleman, appreciate you coming on Hack.
Thanks, David.
Hack's Election Road Trip on Triple J.
All right, guys, so I've just pulled up in downtown Bendigo and we're heading into a place called Sydney Meyer Haven. And it's a first-of-its-kind project in Australia. It's incredible. What they're doing is taking people who are at risk of being homeless, young people, or who are facing really severe disadvantage, and setting them up for a couple of years before they can re-enter the world with a lot of skills and support that they didn't have before. We're going to chat to some of the residents, see how they're doing, but also speak to the local member about what this project's all about. Let's check it out.
Hi.
Hi, how
I'm Serge. This is Dave.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
So, Lisa Chesters, you're the Labor MP for Bendigo.
I am. I've actually been the Labor MP now since 2013, so I may not look it, but I'm one of the millennials in Parliament, so there's a few of us there. And it's a bit sad that at 41, I'm one of the youngest MPs. It's a bit sad, isn't it?
And we're here in a pretty cool place, yes. Somewhere that's pretty unique, not just in Bendigo, Victoria, but Australia. Are you able to kind of give us a bit of an outline of where we are?
So where we are is at Haven Home Safe. It's a home. It's got, and when we go out the back, there's multiple homes that are here, and we're in the general space for young people who are at risk of homelessness. It's a program. They get to live here, not for a short period, but for a medium period, you know, 2 years, really establish themselves, set themselves up, work out their goals, work out their plans, where they'd like to be. And it's unique. It doesn't really exist anywhere in Australia. And Haven, who are a not-for-profit housing association that were born here in Bendigo and now quite big in Australia, came up with this idea and just did it off their own bat. So there's no federal funding in this. They just did it because it was the right thing to do. And the program works.
Well, I reckon like Bendigo would have some pretty significant housing issues, like a lot of Australia, but regional Australia in particular. Is housing something that you're always hearing about, especially with young people?
Particularly at the moment. So our housing prices were pretty good, pretty affordable until about 12 months ago. And that's if you're looking to buy. Rents have been a challenge. And to find a place to rent in Bendigo has been an issue probably for about the last 3 or 4 years. We've got real estates that don't advertise rental properties. They've got 100 people on the waiting list. And so people who are moving here to, say, work at the hospital, you're competing against them. And so it's really challenging for people who might have grown up here wanting to move out of home and trying to get a rental. So we've got a real rental crisis. But then at the same time now, property prices have gone through the roof. So this, where we are, is just a lifesaver for so many young people because it gives them a chance to get at rental history together, and it gives them a chance to really settle, stabilise and work out what they want to do.
Nice. Well, maybe we check it out a bit.
I am Torin Hoppesias, codename Watsky. That's my rapper name. And I live at Unit 15 here.
Okay. So, Torin, how long have you been here at this home haven? What's been your situation?
It's been about 2 years. And my current mental illness or whatever is a big one. It's schizophrenia, so I got a pretty intense life. It's been a really good trip here. It's actually been really nice living here. So many things keep me stable here. So the programs, we got a studio here. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're into music, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I've been making some music the past couple of weeks since we got the computer up here. Do you guys want to see the studio?
Yeah, we should check it out. Let's go. All right, so can you explain, Torin, where we're going now?
We're going to the studio. Here it is. This is where we do...
Nice. Hey, I'm Dave.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
I've heard you a few times.
Really?
On Triple J.
Nice. It's good to have some Triple J listeners. So this is it. This is where...
Yeah, that's where the magic happens.
It's where you do all your stuff.
Yeah.
So what kind of a difference does a place like this make to you? Like you coming, spending a couple of years here and then moving out into another place, what's the experience meant to you?
It's made a massive impact on my schizophrenia. So I've made so much progress in the beginning. I've learnt so much different stuff about mental health and better ways for me to move in my life. So that's why, yeah, I really like this program.
Kenny, would you like to kind of say anything? Like, well, how do you find working with so many different young people and really exploring their passions and getting them into music?
It's a journey with each person, obviously, where they're at in their journey. But it's really nice to find Torin and his gift. Torin never used to be able to actually rap properly, but we've had a lot of mentoring sessions, and you should hear some of what he does now, which is quite amazing. So being able to see people week after week and see what they struggle with on a day-to-day basis and guiding them through. So it's not like a, you know, once-off appointment sort of a thing, but it's like they live here, so you get to work with them in that living situation. That's what different, and that's what I like about here.
Did you want to listen to some of what he's done right now?
Just little snippets
of it.
Ask what it's like to get demented delusions that I live through every day.
seen, unseen, forever just wanna play in this puddle of mud I call my brain. Where I wanna be, I wanna flow and be free. Free from this life tied down by society. Sickness is sickness, that's where I wanna be, wanna be, wanna be. Where I wanna be, I wanna flow and be free. Free from this life tied down by society. Sickness is sickness, that's
where I wanna be. Hey, Torren, amazing.
Thanks, man.
That was great.
You should upload it to Triple Down Earth.
Yeah, you should. You should absolutely.
And I was like, there's no way, man.
Yeah, and of course you should. Of course you should. I was watching you when you were listening and you kind of had your eyes closed, listening really intently. How does it feel to hear yourself like that back and think about your journey, where you've come from?
Oh, the songs, man, they mean a lot to me. It's like even that one that you just heard then, Where I Wanna Be, that for me has been like kind of a crutch song for me, trying to get out of where I want to be in life. Because it's being schizophrenic when you're really, really sick, you want to be sick because it's so much more fun. Like you can have manic highs that just put you into whole of the worlds. And that song, Where I Want to Be, is I want to be psychotic. That was the weird part about what I was writing there. And getting that out kind of helped me not want to go back to that place.
So, Lisa, I mean, obviously it's so good to be seeing the kinds of facilities that are available here at that haven, but there's, you know, so many people obviously in need. Like, not everyone has access to this kind of resources, this facility. Are you hearing a lot from people in Bendigo about those who are waiting? Because there's, like, you know, like thousands of people waiting for social housing, for instance.
Yeah, there's a waiting list for here. Young people want to get in here because they know people where it's changed their lives. It's given them that foundation that they want. You know, people want to live a different life. They want to be better. They want to be proud of who they are. They want to feel good. And that's what's amazing about this model. There's just not enough of them. So it's full. People move out. People move in. The hardest thing that I talk to Haven about is them having to choose who to come in, because a whole bunch of people will be disappointed. This is the kind of thing that we could do at a federal level everywhere. With the right funding, you could build these everywhere in Australia and give young people that opportunity.
So how do you do that? I mean, you're the Labor MP here. It's a safe Labor seat. How do you get this back to the politicians in Canberra, to your party, to the leader, and say, we need to see more of this, like, this is working?
Well, at a federal level, we've committed to fund social and community housing. So that commitment's there. So then it's about, because the funding framework's there, then it's about saying, here's a model that works for young people. Here's a model that we should be funding. And because of the being a not-for-profit, they can get philanthropic funding to help build it. They can get state funding to help build it. That's how it got built in the first place. So then it's about the federal government backing. The support work is here on an ongoing basis. It's about having that framework. Under this government in the last decade, they axed all federal funding to go towards new buildings. So we haven't had any federally built social housing since they've been in office. So it comes back to priorities for a federal government, and this should be a priority. We can't just keep treating people at the pointy end, any emergency, that quick kind of, you know, you're in hospital, you're out of hospital, you're in hospital. This breaks that cycle and gives people that chance to really find their feet.
The Election Road Trip on Hack.
Yeah, an amazing eye-opening initiative that we saw at the Haven Home Safe in Bendigo. It really makes you think what's possible when you invest in people's futures and set them up and get them ready for the world. And we spoke to a whole bunch of legends there, amazing people, and we thank them for letting Hack hear their stories. That is all we have time for on the Hack podcast for now. We'll be out and about other places right across the country over the election campaign, so stay tuned for some more special shows. Until next time, see you later.